Vanya.
Hi, Mike.
We're here.
We are. Look at you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Little allergies. Actually, a lot for me. More than I'm used to, and I'm feeling sick, but I know I'm not sick.
Vanya, crazy. Craziness. Like, I have allergies that tend to sort of rear their head typically like late summer into
That's
fall.
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I literally have been walking around New York crying. Like, it looks like I'm just weeping. Like, my eyes are so sore, like so dry. It's been crazy how bad my allergies are.
Yeah, me too.
Is and the earth just trying to kill us, do you think?
I think so, yeah. No, that's
yeah,
what it
that's
is.
That's kind of what
happening.
I wonder. Yeah. Like, the earth is just like, go away, please.
They're like, yeah, we're the bacteria that needs to leave.
We
I'm
are.
Just kidding. I don't want to go, but I also want to be able to breathe. And so...
Yeah, it's been really bad. So I guess we should say really quickly, we weren't able to record last week because somehow in all of our planning, of course, we just overlooked the fact that it was your showcase last week.
It was. It was a showcase for the first class. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm like at the place setting up. I can't. I'm so sorry. And I have another. We have our second group goes on this Thursday, which I am excited about. And I'm trying to be just like the coolest cucumber about it all, you know, because it doesn't have to be perfect. It is a work in progress. We are showing the parents what we've been working on, you know, so I have to remind myself that, because the professional Vanya wants it to be like 5, 6, 7, 8, you did not hit your mark, you
know? Right.
One of the moms was like, you're a perfectionist, aren't you? I'm like, I mean, at this level of the game, we have to strive to get the moves right, you know. And I did explain that to the kids because we had a lot of fun in the first, it was 9 weeks, you know, we had a lot of fun. We did a lot of games. We did some character development. At this point, I'm like, okay, if we're going to do moves that are going to be in tandem, we have to practice and I'm going to stop and we're going to go back to the beginning until we sort of get it right. That's how you kind of have to do it. And I'm kind about it, but I thought that was a funny comment. I'm like, I guess so, but I am also like, that's how it is as a director. You want to get it right.
Yeah, and like not to get too like woohoo, but no one would say to a math teacher, oh, you're kind of a perfectionist.
Right?
Like, no, like you're teaching someone something. You want them to get it right. Like, and it's art, so like sometimes it's going to be not exact. But like, yeah, I think it's funny that like because it's an artistic thing, it's like, oh, you're kind of a perfectionist.
I'm like, you cannot it's be like, willy-nilly well, up in this bitch.
Right,
you have to like, and the kids
like,
need
chaos
that.
Chaos doesn't, like even, like if you ever watch something where there's chaos happening, it is the most carefully orchestrated thing you've ever, like behind the scenes, you have no idea.
Absolutely.
Like things have to be really, really well choreographed.
Absolutely.
Even if it doesn't. Yeah, yeah.
And think about like when we took stage combat. I took stage combat with you in university and then at university, and that is the most choreographed. Also, you just have to be careful. And in general, like with the dancing, the kids have to be aware of their surroundings. Like one of their little sweet, cute arm flicks could flick somebody in the nose. So I it's not that I took an offense to it. I was just a little surprised. I was like, oh, but you know what? A lot of parents, because I let parents sit in on some of the rehearsals, because even though it made me like nervous, but I think if they want to be there, they're young kids, like, you know, see that your kid's having a good experience. And I at the beginning right now, especially, I welcome that because it's all moms that are real sweet and they're, but yeah, so it's like, I'm just saying that maybe they hadn't sat in a rehearsal like that. I'm also the only person there. And then I have, you know, just a bunch of very excited, creative kids who want to share everything, the hands that go up. And I'm like, yes. And then they're telling me about their day and I'm like, I love that, but we have to keep going to keep working. Because I've learned so many things. I need to do like a document of like all my learnings, but like it takes 20 minutes to warm up, and if I only have an hour, like I'm really trying to warm their vocals up correctly. So that is the thing. I need to do an hour and a half, so I have like that 20 minutes for them to warm up, and then they can take 10 minutes to get a drink of water and then come back, you know. But no, it's good. It's really good. Anyways, yes, that's why we missed last Tuesday. I'm so sorry, but I was a little bit shocked and surprised. I had a lot on my plate.
Can you tell us about the showcase? How did it go? Like anything fun to share?
Great. Yes, it was really great. We're doing the same big group number in both classes. So they are doing a big group number with choreography from the Greatest Showman, This Is Me. And I wrote a monologue that's like the ringmaster and who welcomes all of the people to the stage. And that's really cute. I've got like in interactive. Anyway, that was really great. And then the kids did scenes and monologues, and I introduced in between. It was like a little, it was intense because it wasn't a real theater. So I'm sort of like trying to make the best of it. And at first I had my microphone and I'm like, I can hit the back of this house in a second. So I was like, right. I stopped using the mic, which was much better. And I also, one thing I learned personally is that I need to do some presenting, hosting. I need to practice a little bit more because I don't need to tell people my insecure thoughts. You know, like, I don't know what even I said. Adam was like, you didn't have to say that. I'm like, I know. It came out of my mouth before I could even think about it. But, you know, it's just like, because it was one of those like, well, next time I'll make sure to blah, 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 blah. I was like, just shut up, Vanya. Just welcome everyone. Tell the parents and audience members, which, by the way, there were like 50 people there. We only have 10, 12 kids. So I'm a little nervous for this next one because my location's different. It's in a dance studio. So some people might have to stand. But anyway, ended up only being 25 minutes. Kids went in, wham, bam. They were the most cute. I mean, honestly, I just love this age. They're like 7-year-old to 12 to 13 that I have. And it's the younger ones are a little bit, it's a little trying because, sure, you know, it's just more, it's like, that's where I need an assistant, I think. But everything looked great. They did a great job. I believe they can do things. You know, there's certain things where kids are like, are you sure? And I'm like, I know you can do this, or like memorize it, or, you know. And then now I'm doing private coaching for the scenes leading up to this Thursday because we just did not have enough time to really give it any sort of, and then my daughter's in one of the scenes and I was ready to, you know, sort of like end her because she's really sweet. She's the cutest, sweetest kid. And honestly, with anybody else, she would do what they say. But it's like, I'm like, why aren't you listening to me when I say to do a thing? You know, like, even, okay, we're ready to practice, guys. I was just ready to bring her. Oh, and then the other thing that happened at the actual performance on last Tuesday was, we've gotten through all the scenes, we've gone through all the monologues, heart palpitating for me, you know, everybody did a great job. And now welcomed the, you know, the ringmaster came in, they did their thing and they were about to start their big scene, you know, their big group number. And then I'm like kind of standing back, tried to go back in the audience, back of the audience, because I didn't want to take pull focus at all. So I'm standing there just like holding my heart in my hands. Just, I know they're going to do great, but I'm nervous, you know, because they're singing live and they're dancing, you know. Mm-hmm. And then my son comes up to me like in a panic and I'm like, oh, fuck, what? And he goes, because I had snacks for everybody afterwards. And he goes, Mom, the pizza's cold. And I go, get away from me. I was like, I swear to God, I think my eyes almost bugged out of my head. I was so far. I was so. But here's the thing. He's 7. He would have done that had he known, for me, the stakes. You know, like an older kid would know to just wait a second until the music's done. But I could not believe it, Mike. I swear to God, I was like, oh, dear. But I was also like, life is teaching me to be patient and, you know, not let that destroy me and, you know, and be upset. But luckily, most people didn't hear, and people who did get giggled. But I'm like, I was irate. I don't know if I've, because you see me, those moments, like, okay, Mike, remember when we were in, it was downtown, what was that theater?
See your face. I will never,
yeah,
this moment will live in my brain forever and ever. I can see your face. Like, because I know you well enough to know.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, tell the story. But yes, I 100% know what you're talking about.
What was the theater called? It was the cutest space.
God, I loved it too. And I really wanted to do more there.
They closed. Down.
They close it as a theater. It's still there. Like,
is it,
I don't know.
Was it Theater Schmieder or is that something else? That was something else.
I feel like
that was in Seattle. Anyways, it was this little theater that I had rented. I had a company with a friend, and we were doing two shows in there, and one show I was directing and one show I was actually in. And the show I was directing, but we were getting the lighting up for both shows, and our lighting person was, I didn't know, he came recommended, was a severe alcoholic. Like, I'd never experienced this before. So he hadn't shown up. And so then I had people help me create just like a general wash so we could do up lights, down lights, middle spotlight, whatever. Anyways, he got in there like a day late and started to take down all the lights. And I was like, you have to stop. I was like, because it had taken us so much to get there. And you know, in my younger days, I was a little more like, I had more anger and energy, and this is going to be done right. And that was so awful. And then Mike came. You tell your part, because I just honestly blacked out for some of it.
My memory of it is that you had done all of the lighting cues for the play you were directing.
That's right.
And then he came in to figure out the lighting cues for the other play.
Oh, that's right.
But what he wanted to do was erase everything you had done.
Yes.
To start his own thing. And you were trying to explain, you don't erase it. We have to start a new program for the other show.
Oh my God, I love that you remember. I was like, ugh.
I will never forget this, because I saw you came down the stairs to get someone like in charge to like verify, can you please tell this asshat that he's about to destroy the hours worth of work that we had done.
Oh my God.
And you looked at me, and the look of like the mix of rage and terror that was like on your face, that I knew not to touch you.
Yeah.
I knew that you didn't need you needed your space right then. But I literally called my work and was like, I will not be coming into work tonight.
Yeah, I basically like coughed and started like sobbing hysterically. I was overwhelmed. And he was a hardcore alcoholic, though. That is the truth. Like he was supposed to be there.
We didn't know that. And he was very aggro as well, that he was very like that kind of guy who like knew what was right and was going to tell you why you were wrong, like that kind of situation where it was bad news. I was doing sound, for the record.
That's right.
So that's why I was even there, was I was doing sound for the show that you were directing.
Oh, and that was wonderful. And
honestly, I'm very proud of it.
It was a wonderful play. Yes.
I thought like it was a really fun play, and then between the lighting and the sound. Anyways, I will never forget that moment. Like I can see your face right now.
Yeah.
Like the sheer like terror and like anger. Yeah.
So sometimes I get those, because when you're, you know, if you've been in a show of any kind, you're leading up, it's like it's high stakes because you're about to share with an audience and all the work that you do. Like like I said, I'm really like low stakes here. I'm going to have two groups come in today. We're going to work with them. We're going to do the best we can. I'm going to try and make them feel as confident as possible. And because they're kids, you know, and that's it. But
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you have one more, and then you're doing like a summer thing.
I'm trying to find space. It's been a bit of a pickle because there's lots of camps here that go on. And I reached out to the school district to see if I could rent like a space in a school, because I'm looking for something that's not crazy expensive, because or church or somewhere. Like honestly, if there were theaters over here, that would be, I'd be willing to like spend more money, but most of them are just spaces. So I'm searching, and yes, we'll do a couple weeks, a week, maybe a week or two here and there. And then I might end up doing evenings, because I just feel like I'm getting overwhelmed with like trying to make sure everybody I know who wants to do this summer can. I kind of have to let that go and just be like, here's the dates that I'm doing it. Right. If you can't do this summer, we're going to start with classes again in the fall.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. Cool. I love it.
Well, that's great. I on this end, I've been seeing so much theater. Like I've done a really good job. I feel like I've never been this in front of, because the Tony nominations are this Thursday.
Ooh.
So the day this comes out, Tony nominations will have happened.
Oh my God,
and
so
I feel like I've never been this like ahead of the curve before. Like I've seen a ton of stuff. I know the last time we talked, I was going to see Smash that night.
That's right.
Listen, who saw that coming? Is it a great show? No. It's pretty stupid. But it's so much fun. Like, it is such a fun ride. It's so enjoyable. And when I say stupid, I mean, like, think about that series. That series was insane. Yeah. Like, it was a soap opera. Like, it was very silly, over the top.
Yep.
But it's so much fun. Great performances. That music is amazing. I mean, like, if you think about the songs that were in that TV show, like, it's so well written. I know that I've seen Robin Herder in other things before. She plays, like, the Ivy character. She's so good.
Really?
I mean, like, everyone's so good. Like, Krista Rodriguez and Brooks Ashmanskas has done, like, a ton of stuff. Anyway, I could list more people, but, like, it's a really solid cast. So much talent. It's silly. Like, it's silly, but it's so much fun. I had a really, really good time. I also, super, super fun, this last Sunday got to go to, because our friend Annabelle is the associate company manager for it's a musical that debuted off Broadway last year and is on Broadway now, called Dead Outlaw.
That's right. But yes, we need fun things right now. We need to laugh right now, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. And like, so this Dead Outlaw, it's one of the writers is David Yazbek, who's done a lot of shows that I've liked. And it's really interesting about this guy who's not very good at crime, who ends up being killed very early in his like crime career. And then his body ends up like touring the country for like 60 years or something like that. Like, yeah. It's sort of wild. It's a wild story. And it's pretty dark, but like also funny, very cleverly written. Like, it's a really good book. Yeah, it was super fun. And then we got to go to the Jesse came to the show with me. And then we got to go to like the after party afterwards. It was at the Sony Music Hall, which I'd never been to before. Oh. So that was kind of fun to like go to a different venue. Yeah, so it was fun.
So
it's like
fun.
One of those things that, like, you know, I am always so grateful when I get to do something that's in that world. Yeah. Like, you know, I came to New York because I love theater, and ostensibly I came because I wanted to do theater. And I'm going to be totally upfront. I don't want to do theater. There's no part of me that goes to shows and is like, I should be up on that stage. I don't feel that way. But I wish that I was part of the theater community in some manner. And so just to be able to do this. And that was why, like, back in the day with theater people, like, that felt like a connection to the theater world. And when that went away, I sort of mourned it, because it felt that was sort of my in. And so just getting to do these things, like, it brings me a lot of joy. And anyway, it was a very, very fun experience. I'm trying to think, oh my gosh, Vanya, I guess I should save this for what I'm digging, though it always feels rude to say a New York thing because I don't know when anyone will get a chance to see it.
That's okay.
Sarah Snook, who is from Succession.
Yes.
Is doing The Picture of Dorian Gray. Now, I've heard of this. I've never seen it very well. Yeah, I'd never seen it before. I guess it's based on a story, a novel by Oscar Wilde. Am I making this up right now?
I think you're right.
That sounds right. Like, but this is like ostensibly a one-person play of this story in which Sarah Snook plays every character. And it's like 36 characters.
Oh.
Now, she's on stage with a number of camera people. So she's being filmed as she's performing it. And her performance is being projected onto various screens. And I don't want to say too much.
Whoa.
But there are moments then where her on stage is interacting with her not on stage, like her pre-recorded playing another character.
Whoa.
And they're having conversations. There were moments that I was like, I don't know what I'm looking at right now. Like, this is so wild what I'm seeing. And it is 2 hours long, and she never stops moving. She never stops talking. Like, I read an interview with her after I had seen it just to be like, what is her like process? And she's like, by the end I'm exhausted, like, by the end I really want to wipe my nose and I can't. Like, it's not like I'm not allowed to. And like, literally at the end I'm like, oh girl, you need to wipe your nose. Like, it's like she's messy by the end of it, but it's just the way. Yeah, anyways, I don't know if there's plans for it to go. I know, you know, it started on the West End. I don't know if it's going to come to any other cities, but man, it is a feat. Like, it is unlike anything I've ever seen before. Very, very impressive. So was a really, really cool experience to get to see that.
Oh, man. I just wonder how long it's going to be, you know, going for.
I mean, it's a limited run. Yeah. You know, I want to say it's like 12 weeks or something like that. I wonder, I mean, if they bring it to LA, like, we will get you a ticket.
Oh,
like,
that would be amazing.
It really was something to behold. So that's been super, super fun. And then also, like, in other, like, me news, listen, I finally sent my new album to be mastered by the guy who did. Yeah, so it was hard. Like, there's one song that I'd sent it to you even to be like, can you just, like, I don't even know if I'm singing it. I don't even know if I sound good. Like, I've lost all perspective on what this particular song is supposed to sound like. And I finally was just like, in that same way where the perfectionism sneaks in, where at a certain point I have to just be like, this is just it. Like, this is what it sounds like. I don't think it sounds bad. I don't know that it sounds perfect. But anyway, so that'll hopefully be a thing kind of soon. And then honestly, like, I know that I've talked about an album from like 20 years ago that I went through and I redid all the music and I've been re-recording the vocals. And I recently went through to listen to be like, well, how much is done and how much do I still need to do? 8 of the 10 songs are done. Oh. Like, I literally just need to like do vocals for 2 of the songs. And listen, these are songs that I wrote when I was 20 something years old.
Sure.
They're hard to sing. The last song that I have to do, I'm like, I'm just going to have to like spend the day in my room screaming into a microphone and hoping that it ends up sounding okay. Cause it's harder. It's harder than I'd probably write for myself right now, but that's fun. So anyways, this new thing should be out soon. And then another one after that. And it's a little nerve wracking, but yeah, there we go. There's some new
stuff.
Did
they
say
how long they'll take?
He didn't. He's very busy. Like we're getting into, I know that like summer is his busy time. And so I knew that I was kind of pushing it, but he's very, very cool. And he's very like, listen, I'm busy at the beginning of the week, but I should have time by the end. And my thing is like, take your time, like, you know,
just do it right.
You know, it'll be done when it's done. And so here's hoping that'll be done soon. And then I can remember how do I put things up. And yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
it's all that process of like doing it again, like even sending him the files. I was like, I know I've done this before because I did this a year ago, but like I had no memory of like how to make the transfer work. He says that he got them, so I'm gonna trust that he has it and that it's all in the process of being done now.
Good. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I know that some of the songs I've heard that I love and people are gonna really love them.
I mean, some of the songs you've heard many, many times.
I love it.
I've played a few of these for you, like, yeah, yeah. Anyways, thank you. Thank you for listening so many times.
Yes.
And you know, and I will say that I was walking home from somewhere yesterday, and I'll do this thing on my phone where I'll just go into music and just hit songs random. And just, I'm like, what should I listen to right now? It'd be like musical theater followed by like, you know, Fleetwood Mac followed by Madonna. You know what I mean? And one of the songs that's on the new album came on, and it's the unmastered, it's a rawer version. But I was like, you know what?
Still
this
sounds
is pretty good.
Yeah, there's
some good stuff on there. I'm excited. You know, I say this, and this is the same thing as you kind of talking about how, like, maybe you shouldn't say everything. But I'll say it because we're talking here. Because the honest truth is, I am really, really happy and proud to share, like, the first 6 or 7 songs. And then it gets a little deep. It gets a little scary for
vulnerable,
me. Like, there are a couple of that I'm a little bit like, ooh, I'm scared. So there is just part of me that knows that that's what it is. That knows that like I kind of like front load it with like fun, poppier, happier, because I know that it ends up going to kind of a darker place. And so, anyways, that's all. It is vulnerable.
Before we move on, can you share the title now, or do you want to wait till?
Sure. You know what's funny? This is my first album that has a title track. Like, there's a song on it that is the title of the album. And this show that I've been wanting to do for many, many years, the title is Someone Else's Story. And part of that came from me specifically wanting to sort of write outside of me. Like, you know, I think most people that write, you write kind of about you and your own experiences and things that you've gone through. And there's still a lot of that on that. But the title track is sort of me trying to look at, all right, I'll say it, various guys who have rejected me.
Yeah, okay.
Various men who have made me not feel great about myself, but kind of trying to look at it from like, well, but what if I look at that as though it wasn't all about me? Because it isn't all about me. Nothing is all about us. We make it about us because of course that's where we come from. But most people are just living their lives. They're not doing a thing to hurt you. They're just living their life, and that didn't work out.
And I had to believe there was something there. I have to hold on to that brief affair, but I have to remember one more thing that's true, that this is someone else's story too.
So that's what that song is about, is me kind of looking at like, you hurt my feelings, you made me cry, but I don't know what was happening with you. Like, this isn't all about me. This is someone else's story too. Like, that's what that song is. And then, like, I wrote a song about my brother, who I didn't know all that well. He was in and out of the prison system from the time that he was a teenager. And, you know, he made the decision to end his life several years ago. And I tried to write a song examining my feelings about our childhood together and the things I didn't know about him and the things that I did know about
him. And I don't know if there's hope to find in all the messes that you leave behind. I don't pray much, but I pray that you before life was through.
You know, I wrote a song about my mom, and I wrote this song while she was still with us, and she heard it. You know, I mean, my not maybe funny joke is that she heard it twice for the first time because she had memory issues.
Yeah,
but she really enjoyed it both times.
Aww. All this time, as life goes marching forward, all this time, it's probably not been clear. Did you know I'm forever so grateful? And all this time, I've always known you're near.
And you know, it's hard now. Like it has a different feeling for it now that she's not, you know, on this planet anymore. And the last song is about my dad, and it's a very sparse song. Like, it's literally just me and two strings of a guitar.
Someone said you'd stick around if I asked you. You'd be found.
You know, I'm proud of it, and I'm excited to share it, but it's also very scary to me.
Yeah.
So, but I guess that's what it is. I guess that's...
I'm excited.
Thank you. I'm excited as well. I am excited and scared.
Proud. I'm proud, mama.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I guess sort of ish on that. Anything you're in particular digging right now?
Okay, so, you know, things are real intense these days in the news.
Yeah,
I mean, every
I gotcha.
Day it's worse, and... Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just horrifying and upsetting, and the headlines. And so I was like, I ran, you know, sometimes social media is, you know, oh, that's helpful. But I was looking at, and there was something saying, like an article or something saying, like, rewatching old shows mm-hmm. is actually
sure.
good for your body and your system, and it relieves stress. And
yeah,
I know
it's
that.
Reassuring.
I mean,
yeah.
I haven't done it in a while, but I used to always rewatch The West Wing, and that is uh-huh. so, so great. But it occurred to me that there was this series that I watched, like, maybe 2000, I don't know, early 2000s. And I had borrowed the DVDs from my friend Samara, I think. And it's a Canadian series. It's from 2003 called Slings and Arrows. And I just purchased the season, the first season.
Nice.
It is so good. It is, I love it so much. We're done. Like, we started a couple days ago. I was like, we're only doing one episode, but we did three last night because it's just like, it's so amazing. I'm like, who is in it? I don't know if anybody would even know who's...
Well, Rachel McAdams is in the first season.
That's
She's sort of
right.
like the person who went on to be like the big star. Because I've only ever seen the first season.
Oh, gosh, Mike. I'm excited. We're going to keep going. I can't remember everything. But yes, Paul Gross is the main guy. And
who,
he's incredible.
Like, he's so hot. Like, there's something so sexy about him.
Yeah, well, because he's like on the edge. You know, he's like, he's kind of crazy in this. And it's also fun,
right.
too, because one of the characters is... dies, you know, Oliver Wells, this character, Oliver Wells, who's the
yeah.
original, like, creative director of the festival, and he dies, but I'm not gonna say anything, but it's has a fun twist to it. And then, you know who's in it as a child, or like a young person, is, what's his name? Luke Kirby.
I was like, I totally forgot that Luke
yes,
Kirby was in that.
I just started watching Etoile, and he's in that too.
Do you like it? I've heard
you
really mixed things about
Here's
it.
Here's the thing. I think it is popcorn, and I love it. Yeah,
sure.
I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
You're not going to watch it and be like, this is so amazing and significant. No, it has like a... It has an Emily in Paris vibe. It's not set in Paris. It's set in New York. But it's like, it's fun. It's set in New York. It's set in the Lincoln Center. It's ballet. And the characters are real characters. I'm enjoying it. I've only watched the first episode. But so far, I'm going to keep going with it. It's that thing where I can do my sewing and stuff like that. Anyways, guys, Slings and Arrows. There's three seasons. I loved it so much. It really made me feel, and both my husband and I were just like, damn, this is good. This is so good. It's really great. And there's, oh my
yeah.
God, there's this lady, she's an actress. What's her name? Her name is Jennifer Irwin. She plays the biggest villain asshole. She's amazing. Like, I hate her so much. And I it's her character I hate. But honestly, if I saw her, I'd be like, you're a stupid bitch. Because she plays such a mean, awful character. But like I said, really enjoyable for me. Love, love, love.
You know, the guy that, one of the writers for Slings and Arrows, Bob Martin, is the guy who, he wrote the book for Drowsy Chaperone, which is a musical,
Ooh.
But he also wrote the book for Smash and
oh.
for Boop, another musical that's out,
Stop
that's
it.
Out right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What a quinky dink.
Yeah, that's fun. I need to go back and watch that. I think of was his name Paul Gross? Was that the guy who's like the lead?
Paul Gross, yeah.
So he was the Jack Nicholson character in the very short... Remember watching... We watched it together. Eastwick.
Oh, yeah.
That like Witches of Eastwick TV series that only lasted for like half a season. Yes. But he was the Jack Nicholson character. And like I knew him from that first. And I was like, who is this dirty gentleman that I kind of enjoy? Yeah, that's funny. I'm really do want to watch that. I'm actually halfway through a mini series that I wasn't sure that I was going to watch because it's just a terrible title, as Patrick has also pointed out to me. But I've given into it, and I'm really enjoying it. It's called Dying for Sex.
Oh yes, right.
It's on Hulu, I want to say.
Sounds right.
Sorry, let me get there. Yeah, it's on Hulu. It's Michelle Williams plays the lead. And listen, it's a sort of a dark premises. It's about a woman who finds out that her cancer has come back and that it is stage 4 and that it is incurable. And she sort of uses that to propel herself to explore her sexuality in ways that she never had before, which feels like a wacky concept. And it sort of is, but it's based on a true story. It's based on a podcast that this woman... who, you know, it's no spoiler to say that she does not, you know, she does pass away.
Wow.
In real life, she is not with us anymore. And so I assume the character also will. But it's her and her friend Nikki Boyer, who in the TV series is played by Jenny Slate. And it's sort of telling the story of her, like, discovering her sexuality sort of tragically at the end of her life, but taking this moment to be like, if this is the time that I have left, this is what I'm going to do with it. And it's really, really well made. There are certain moments where I feel like we're speed storytelling a little bit, where I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind seeing that scene that you just mentioned happened. But it's really... It's really well made. And what I will also say about it that made it easy to watch when I started, they're like 29-minute episodes.
Oh, okay.
So super, super easy to digest. Jenny Slate, I love her so much. She's
too.
So good in this. Yeah. Rob Delaney plays like the next door neighbor that sort of helps her discover her sexuality. And he's
okay.
So disgusting, but like also, you know, in that kind of hot way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like the first time you see him, he's like eating a taco and it's just like falling into his mustache. And I'm like, but like also like, yeah. Anyway, it's an interesting show. And like I said, I'm only about halfway through it. So I'll be curious to see like where it goes from here. But
yeah.
I am really, really enjoying it. And Michelle Williams, she's so special. There's something about her that like I just think is so... Her mixture of strength and vulnerability, I just think is kind of remarkable. That she looks like you want to take care of her, but also like she could probably kill you if she had the mind to, you know, like, so anyways, I'm really enjoying it. I recommend that if you want to like little bite size, you know, like I said, it's shorter episodes because it, I guess it's a comedy, but it plays like a drama, if that makes any sense, but it's fast. Anyway,
I wish I could see her act. Like I'd love to be on set while she's doing her thing.
Yeah, I mean, I saw her doing the play, was it called Blackbird? With Jeff Daniels.
Oh.
And it was dark. It was dark. It was that play that literally, when it was over, I saw it with our friend Ben. And when it was over, I just went, well, that wasn't funny. Because, like, it was not. It was, like, so dark. But she was unbelievably good in it. Like to see her live on a stage, it was I would be amazing to be on a set with her and like see what her process is like. She's very fascinating to me. So there you go. I knew that we'd have a ton to talk about, so no topic. I don't know if you have anything you could do without. I have a big one.
I mean, I have one that's so stupid, but it's like been torturing me for months or for weeks and weeks. I got my nails done before I went to Cabo. I painted them a real nice orange color.
I love it.
But I did the gel. And normally I usually go during the week right when they open to this older lady. And I like her. She's wonderful. And they last forever. I went on the weekend and this lady like used the drill on my real nail, and my nails are so weak, so I'm like holding on to it. I look like I have like a French tip with orange right now because I'm holding on to it, because if I take it off my nail, I feel like my nail is just gonna rip right off. So not to gross everyone out like in that way, but I have been, if I bump it, it hurts.
Oh no.
And that happened, when did I go? It's like, has it been 2 months? Maybe. Yeah. It was awful. It's awful. So that I could do without that. And the next time anyone comes near my nail with one of those, it's like, it. I don't even know how to explain it, but it's like a little.
Do they like shave it down or
yes,
something?
Yes.
Ugh.
I know. And there was no need to. I came with fresh nails. It wasn't like they were getting stuff off. It's just, it's really upsetting. And I always don't want to be rude because I'm like, oh, right. You're the professional, but you have to kind of, because then I've also been with women who are like, you missed one, which I, you should do because it's what you're doing, but like I am right. Too nice, and I,
you want, and me both,
they, yeah, I know, I want the people to have a nice time and a nice day, plus I'm not sure if they could totally understand, so I'm like but this time if anybody comes near me, I'm gonna be like, no, absolutely no, please, yeah. No, but yeah,
I gotcha.
That's, what about you, what's your big one?
Mine is so upsetting to me that I almost don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to bring it up because it's one of those situations in which, like, I wish I had a bigger platform, but it's probably best that I don't, because I would probably rage so hard that I would get in trouble for it.
Oh, no.
But, and, you know, swearing coming up, fucking Terrence Howard, like, it's really upsetting to me.
Okay.
He did this interview on Bill Maher in which he said he had been offered to play a certain character and he chose not to because the character was gay, and if he ever had to kiss a man, he would cut his own lips off.
Well, fuck him.
The sadness and rage that brings up inside of me, the disgusting irresponsibility.
Seriously?
To make a comment like that in a world in which, like, there's already enough
violence.
Fucking self-hatred and violence, yeah, towards gay people and the queer community, to put that in the world is so gross to me.
Ew.
It truly makes me wish that I had a platform from which, and I'm not talking about fucking canceling, but that said,
no.
I don't ever need to see him do anything ever again. Like, I don't ever need to watch anything that he does. Like, fuck you. Like, you played an abusive dad on Empire towards your gay son, and you probably thought that guy was the hero. You probably thought that guy was, like, just being a dad, and, like, it's just gross. Yeah, it really grosses me out. So that's what I could do without. I could do without fucking disgusting ignorance.
I mean, I will say, this is an industry, not to, you know, speak over you, but, like, this is an industry full of all kinds of people, so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Canceling is not out of the question.
And, you know, and it was someone else was saying, like, well, now we know. Like, go ahead and speak your truth. Like, good to know that that's where you stand. But it's just gross. It makes me really sad. It's very upsetting. So that's all. My random thing is a happy thing, though.
Okay,
did you see this?
Me.
That our friend Patrick and his podcasting partner, Jen Simard, won a Webby Award for their Golden Girls podcast?
They
won for,
so
like,
great.
Individual episode for their episode. And here's the thing.
Oh, my gosh.
And I felt a little bit like I didn't want it because Patrick is an amazing podcaster.
Yeah.
And they won. But, like, they won for an episode in which Jen Simard did an impression of a day playing actor, at which I laughed so hard.
Oh my God,
out
fun.
In public that people, like, stared at me and I rewound it and listened to it again. Like, it was so funny. Anyways, so congratulations to both of them. Like,
oh.
I don't think that he even realized they were nominated. It was sort of this thing where, like, it was announced and they were like, we won a Webby. That's kind of amazing. So anyways, congratulations to both of them on their Webby Award. And it's a great, for those that aren't listening, it's the Golden Girls Deep Dive podcast, and it's very, very entertaining.
Oh my gosh. And then I don't know if you saw, but, and I don't think it's real, but there was a thing going around saying, like, the cast of they're rebooting it with, like, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and all these people. I'm like, that's amazing. If they do that, that's going to be like hitting gold for my friend Patrick.
Yeah.
But I mean,
they're definitely not doing that. Yeah. Tina Fey went on the record to be like, first of all, like, two of us are dressed as old people and two of us aren't. Like, it's clearly, like, you know, something a fan made, but also just like that is hallowed ground kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's true, but I do feel like we are in this territory where we definitely need some laughter and escapism, you know, just saying.
Yeah.
Even though we should be taking the issues head on, but it's just so intense. Okay, wait, Mike, I have one more question. It's more of like a random question than a random thing.
Uh-huh.
Where would you say, like, do I go watch Rachel Maddow? Will I, what is going to make me get informed, but yet not ruin my entire stomach lining?
So it's tough because I was actually sort of having this conversation with Patrick, because after the election he sort of went on like he stopped listening to basically all news, and I've kept listening to my usual, which are like the Up Firsts and the NPR politics and that kind of thing. But I hope it's okay that I'm saying this. I don't think that he would mind. But for him, what he's needed now actually is the more partisan, where it's like almost like from a, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, but like, here's how they're doing it wrong and how we have to do it. So it's less of like just looking at it fairly and more like, nope, this is, and I, part of that I think is actually Rachel Maddow. I do think that he's listening to that. So I should look into that a little bit more and maybe get you some better ones to listen to, but coming at it more from like an action of like, this is what's up, this is what to do. Whereas once again, what I'm listening to is much more like, we're trying to be fair.
Yeah.
Which maybe isn't what we need right now.
Well, and the other thing is I need to know, I wish somebody was like, here are some wins, or maybe there are none, but like, you know, just it's feeling very dire to me. I mean, and then looking at the social media is the worst, and that's where I get like, where I see a lot of these things. I don't necessarily click on them, but I'm like, oh my God.
Well, there are things to look at, and some of them are, you know, like there was the Supreme Court election that happened in, I'm forgetting what state it was, but like it could have gone that way. I think it was Wisconsin. Yeah. And it went the way we were hoping it was going to go, which was definitely a good sign there. Even the recent was an actual election that happened in Canada? Where like the Conservative Party was on the upswing and then they tanked, and like the Liberal Party swept in and ended up winning. So
I mean, I have the New York Times and I have the Washington Post, and so I just kind of like look at them a little bit, and like it makes me nervous. I also can like, it really can ruin my day and my bowels.
I feel you. Yeah, it's a lot. Anywho. It's a lot. But there is good news out there. Like, it does exist. Yeah. Not as much of it as I want there to be, but
yeah.
But if I think of anything, and if anyone knows a good, like, I wish that I knew better things to listen to that were more of like, I'll have to ask. I'll have to ask Patrick and have him give me some ideas.
We will
and I'll
get
pass
back
along
to everyone on that, and me especially, because I need it. I need it. Oh.
All right. I love you so much. I'm glad we got to talk. Too. I assume we'll be back next week, but you know, sometimes things happen. Yep. So we'll try to be back next week. And thank you all for listening.
All right. Bye bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not, with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We'll be back next week.
Hello.